ready when counsel are ready.
Good afternoon. May it please the court, my name is Daniel Benson. I represent the appellant Deshae Arkell Stiff. I would like to request to reserve 5 minutes.
Yes, sir, 5 minutes.
The issue before the court today is whether evidence presented by the Commonwealth at trial was sufficient to convict Mr. Stiff under Section 18.2422. As the Commonwealth pointed out in their brief, that's a pretty broad issue. So more specifically, what's before your honors today is whether a conviction under Section 18.2422 may stand if no evidence of the defendant's age was presented by the Commonwealth and the trier of fact considered impermissible information to corroborate observations of the defendant's physical appearance as proof that he was older than the statutorily prescribed age of 16.
Why doesn't Lambert versus Commonwealth, that says it's okay for the court to determine age just on the basis of appearance, why doesn't that carry the Commonwealth over the line on this one?
Well, Your Honor, I think the Lambert case is only partially on point here, and I think our position is more adequately prescribed in the Jewell case that we cited on brief. And the reason I say that, Your Honor, the Lambert case was more clearly defined, and the court did note that a defendant's physical appearance would be sufficient to, under certain circumstances, for the court to find that he was above a particular statutorily prescribed age. The reason that I would submit to Your Honors that the Jewell case is more on point is because, in addition to that, the court notes that in less obvious cases where the defendant's physical appearance does not establish beyond a reasonable doubt that his age exceeds that is required, then physical appearance alone is insufficient evidence of his age and must be corroborated.
Can I ask you on that, Mr. Vincent, why doesn't the court in Jewell, though, say, while it says exactly what you just said, it also seems to indicate that it's up to the fact finder to determine that. And so, it talks about, as you said, if a criminal defendant's physical appearance indicates an age well above that required to be proven in the trial, trial court determines that the fact finder is able to conclude beyond a reasonable doubt from the defendant's physical appearance that he exceeds the age required to be proven, then the defendant's physical appearance alone is sufficient evidence of his age, and the fact finder may resolve that issue based only on the defendant's physical appearance.
Well, Your Honors, I would concede that is up to the fact finder's determination. And
so I guess my question is I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but my question is, if the fact finder, as here, where Judge O'Hara says, well, he's over 200 pounds, he's 6 feet, the way he carries himself, the way he speaks, all of these things lead me to conclude he was at least, he's eight, he's a man now, and he was certainly 16, past his 16th birthday when the offense was committed a little over a year before. So if the fact finder, if the trial court finds that the fact finder, and here it was the trial court, can decide that, who are we as an appellate court to say, no, fact finder, you just can't decide that?
Well, Your Honors, it would be our position, and the language specifically that you were quoting from comes from, in the appendix, I believe, page 214 and 215. And at this juncture, when Judge O'Hara was making these observations, as Your Honor noted, close to 200 pounds, spoke and carried himself, his mannerisms, et cetera, et cetera. Procedurally, this came in Judge O'Hara's ruling to the defense counsel's motion to vacate the conviction under 18.2422. And, Your Honor, what I would like to point to would be also in the appendix, but actually at the conclusion of evidence where Mr. Randall, a partner in my office who represented Mr. Stith at trial, raised essentially a motion to strike at the close of evidence, and this is on page 200. And
Judge O'Hara's comments are much shorter, but why can't he elaborate on them later when he's asked to rule on the motion to vacate? I mean, his comments there, as you say, he says, well, other than what the court observes, and that's what he's assuming, I assume he's elaborating on 212 and 214.
Yes, Your Honor. It would be our position, respectfully, that at the time of the actual trial, this was May 21st, I believe, and I don't believe he was sentenced again where the motion to vacate was heard by Judge O'Hara until August. Now, I know that's still, we're only talking months here, but I would specifically like to point to the language on page 200 of the appendix where Judge O'Hara indicated, well, other than what the court observes and the fact that he was charged as an adult. And, Your Honors, it would be our position that though that's brief and he didn't elaborate beyond that point, that at least at the time that Mr. Stith was aggrieved was at that ruling, and based off of his language implicit in that is that the defendant's appearance alone wasn't enough to make that determination, and he considered that together with the fact that he was tried as an adult.
Assuming for the purposes of this argument that the charged as an adult was not part of the record and so it was improper for the trial court to rely on that, given that the issue that's raised is sufficiency to convict, and our standard on appeal then is whether the determination was plainly wrong or without any evidence and support, do you concede that the observation that the court made of this defendant's physical appearance provides some support?
I would concede, Your Honor, that it does provide some support, but respectfully, our position, I guess, circles back to the language that I highlighted from the Jewell opinion, is that if the physical appearance alone is insufficient, it must be corroborated. And it would be our position that at the initial ruling on defense counsel's motion to strike, that the physical appearance alone was not the determination of that decision. So thus making it a much closer case than Lambert decision, Your Honors, and that if the defendant's physical appearance is corroborated with evidence that's not in the record or information that's not properly offered or admitted into evidence, that this conviction should be reversed and remanded back to the Sussex County Circuit Court for consideration as to sentencing on the other charges. And thank you. And unless there's any other questions, I'll reserve my remaining time.
I have one other question, and I don't mean to put you on the spot here, counsel, but what are we to make of the closing argument that Mr. Randall made, and this is on page 197 of the appendix, where he's talking about, you know, various things. Then he says, you know, to the court, we have the alibi witnesses. They have not been impeached. You have my client, who is not a convicted felon. He is 19 years old. What, can the court not consider that at all?
I would submit, Your Honors, that though it's clear in the record that Mr. Randall did make that statement in closing arguments, but it was in closing arguments. This wasn't any kind of stipulation or anything, and I would submit that as part of argument, it shouldn't be considered for either the trial court's determination or here before Your Honors. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Campbell?
May it please the court, Lauren Campbell on behalf of the Commonwealth. The Commonwealth asks you to affirm the conviction for wearing a mask in public because the trial court properly applied this court's previous decisions that determine the defendant's physical appearance can be used as proof in determining age. And the trial court was proper in concluding that the defendant was above the age of 18 at the time of the offense. This court has recognized that when age...
You mean the age of 16, right?
Right, well, yeah, but the... Yes, Your Honor, the...
But the court found he was 18.
Exactly.
Right, okay.
The Commonwealth was required under the statute to prove that the defendant was over the age of 16, but the court, in all his remarks, concluded that the defendant was an adult and therefore over the age of 18, which obviously is above the age of 16. And the trial court, sitting as the fact finder, was in the best possible position to make these observations of the defendant, and at length did make observations, as this court has already mentioned, about his demeanor, his appearance, his manner, his speech, the way he carried himself. The defendant was in the courtroom the entire trial and also did testify. So the trial court was in the best position to make those decisions, and as this court has already briefly discussed, this is a sufficiency challenge, and the trial, this court does not substitute its own judgment, but looks to see whether or not the trial court was reasonable in its determination and whether as any reasonable trier of fact.
How do you respond to Mr. Vinson's argument that what the court says in Jewell, particularly on page 356, mm-hmm. Talking about when proof is required that a person is above or below a given age, physical appearance may be considered as proof of the fact if a criminal defendant's physical appearance indicates an age well above that required to be proven, and the trial court determines that the fact finder is able to conclude. You know where I'm going with this. Is the fact that he's 19, is that well above, or is it the fact of his height and size and weight and way he carries himself? I mean, what does Jewell tell us we must decide with regard to whether the trial court can decide, if the fact finder can decide, and we owe deference to the fact finder on making the decision of whether it's clear or whether you've got to look at the well above and therefore it needs corroborating evidence?
I think that what Jewell tells us is that when the trial court is able to observe and articulate factual bases and through the senses and observations of why the trial court is coming to these inferences, I don't think that the term well above an age can set any sort of, oh, the trial court needs to be able to determine that he or she is X number of years over the required age. I think if the trial court is able to articulate a reasonable basis for why the defendant appears to be over the age, then I think that that is appropriate. And I think, kind of going to what Your Honor asked the defendant about the closing argument piece, that what the defendant said in closing argument is obviously not evidence. However, I think that it can be used, because it's in part of the record, to show that what the trial court did was reasonable, because more likely than not, the defendant was over the age of 19. So the trial court's observation that he looked over the age of 18 is supported in some inference by that statement, even though the Commonwealth does agree it's not evidence that of his age.
Well, let me ask you on that then. Why then, if that's the case, cannot the trial court look at other things that are in the record that aren't introduced necessarily as evidence specifically, but things that are in the record such as, you know, the felony arrest warrant that gives the date of birth of Mr. Stith, the commitment order that says he's an adult and gives his date of birth showing that he was 18. You've got all the order for continued custody, all sorts of documents that are in the record and are in the record on appeal to us. Why can't the trial court consider that, or at least implicitly consider it, when it finds that he's being tried as an adult, or there's nothing in the record that explains why he was a juvenile and he's now being tried as an adult?
Without conceding, I don't think that issue really needs to be decided in this case, but I do think that the difference is with something like a record that is in the file or the record of the case, that's not something that ever came up at the actual trial for the judge to consider at trial, and therefore for the, and a defendant to make an objection to, or if the court had decided to take judicial notice of a record or something like that. This isn't any, those records while in the file weren't ever a part of his trial, so the Commonwealth would acknowledge that without conceding in some future case if the Commonwealth found itself in a different position in challenging Jewell and the some of Jewell's rulings. But I would like to point out that Jewell is definitely controlling in this case. This case is completely different from Jewell. In fact, it's pretty much the opposite, in that in Jewell, the trial court made observations that the defendant looked like he was over the age, but that's not how the court was going to rule. The court was going to rule that based on these things, other things in the record, that's why the court made its determination. And Jewell said, no, you can't do that. But this is the opposite. In this case, the trial court said, I'm primarily basing everything on my observations of this defendant and the way he looks in court in front of me.
Yeah, but in fairness, I mean, the judge didn't say that was his primary basis, did he?
I think if you read it in context, Your Honor, that is what he is saying on 214 and 215. And he mentions, let me pull it up. He says, he goes through about 20 lines of describing the defendant and why he believes that he is well above the age of 18 at the time of the offense. He says that he believes during voir dire he also answered to the plea of his age, but then he goes to say, but the court would basically again suggest that the defendant's appearance, his manner, his speech, his carriage, and his stature all lead the trier of fact to conclude that indeed at the time of the offense he had reached and was beyond his 16th birthday. So the Commonwealth would say, based on the context of the ruling as a whole, that is what the judge's ruling was. And I pointed out in my brief the Wynn appeal, the Wynn decision by this court, which acknowledged that, very similar to this case, where there was dicta of the court had found very similar to this, that based on his appearance, the defendant was over the age, and the rest was just dicta talking about other things that maybe corroborated it.
What case was that? I'm sorry.
It was Wynn. It's an unpublished opinion.
Wynn, yes, right. Okay, thank you.
Yes, Your Honor. So again, if there are no further questions, the Commonwealth would just ask that you affirm the conviction, because the trial court was perfectly reasonable, based on this court's jurisprudence, to determine that the defendant was over the age of 16 at the time of the offense.
Thank you very much. Mr. Vincent, any rebuttal?
May it please the court, just briefly, in rebuttal, and the Commonwealth's argument, the Commonwealth distinguished the facts in Jewell as from the facts that are before your honors here today, and I do recognize the distinction in that the court in Jewell mentioned the defendant's physical appearance, but then primarily based his determination or factual finding of his age based off of other documents.
He even said that he wasn't going to rely on that, right, in Jewell, in the trial judge.
Correct, Your Honor. And I know it may appear that I'm splitting hairs here, but I think it's significant because of the articulated observations of the court were that the Commonwealth and Your Honors have noted came during the ruling as to the defendant's motion to vacate. And I would just submit to Your Honors that Mr. Stith was aggrieved in this case on the initial ruling. In the initial ruling where
there... Why can't the Commonwealth, especially when defense counsel does a motion to vacate, and it's still within the bosom of the court, why can't the court elaborate further on what he said on Joint Appendix 200? Well, other than what the court observes and the fact that he was charged as an adult. He gives those two things, and then he elaborates, and he never seems to elaborate on the second. He elaborates only on, well, other than what the court observes, obviously, of the defendant.
And Your Honors, I do recognize the fact the judge, obviously, it's more than within his purview to elaborate on his actual findings in the discussion of the motion to vacate. However, I do think that the time period here is significant. We are talking from May 21st of 2014 until August 20th, I believe, of 2014. And there's no indication in the record as to whether or not the court's articulated observations are from his memory of the actual trial and facts that he found as the fact finder in determining guilt or innocence, or whether they were observations that he was making that day in court during the motion to vacate. And particularly, the language crosses over from 214 to 215. He does say that the defendant appeared to the court and does today. I do acknowledge that, but beyond that, I don't see any language that, as far as he weighs close to 200 pounds, whether that was then or now. And I would submit to your honors that at the juncture of the motion to vacate, I don't necessarily, I don't know if what he, what Judge O'Hara was doing is finding facts at this juncture or back from in May.
Would that matter, though? Because I mean, we have to decide what he was as of the date of the offense, of course, as opposed to the date of trial, right?
And that's correct, Your Honor, and I do acknowledge that. But in even in keeping with as far as the only indication whatsoever in the record of his actual age, as Your Honors have noted, that Mr. Randall's statement in closing arguments that he was 19. The statute requires to be convicted under 18.2422 for someone to have been over the age of 16 or 17. So as Your Honors will note, I believe the indictments are in, as part of the appendix, alleging an offense date of February 12th of 2013. So obviously, as you pointed out, the issue is whether or not he was at least 17 years of age at that juncture. And if he was, as Mr. Randall conceded in closing argument, or not necessarily conceded, but stated in his argument that he was 19, that would mean it's just very close in time, Your Honor. I don't think it would be a moot point if Mr. Stith was in his 40s or 50s. But I think given how close we are in time, that it's significant that when the actual observations articulated by the court as to his physical appearance were removed by roughly 4 months. And unless Your Honors have any further questions, I would rest my argument, and I thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll come down and greet counsel. That completes